I might be all over the place because this video, I'm going to refer back to the video more than my notes because I lived this thing. And never in a million years did I think that I would be here sharing my life this way. Never. But I found in my journey that sometimes we go through things and a limp is evident. Like, you know the brother is limping, right? You know. But it seems like in Christianity among men, we could be limping and nobody can know it. Because sometimes we've learned to hide it well to continue to push on. And even though there are some that might have an evident limp, there might be some that are limping, and it's not until tragedy strikes. So it's, man, did you know? Man, I didn't know. And then the brothers is kind of devastated by the whole thing. The other thing that struck me was Randy, when Randy said, man, what is it? Reaffirming, what was it? Reaffirming your calling. What was it? Restoring. And that word restore gives you the idea when you read it, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. It means like a broken bone. That's what it means. So it says in meekness and all that, but it talks about where there's brokenness, that all of a sudden it says those who are spiritual restore such a one in their brokenness. And then it also says in the third verse, he who thinks he is something when in fact he is nothing deceives himself. One of the things that can happen in ministry is we can do everything that we need to be doing because we want success and we want to glorify the Lord. And we want to build the kingdom. And at the beginning, and I remember the beginning for me, man. I remember, you know, tomato sandwiches. Okay, it's a long story, man. But tomato sandwiches. And then, you know, chicken with delicacy. There was this thing we call Mennonite magic. And the Mennonites used to give us blessings, and it was meat in a can. And we called it Mennonite magic because we never got meat. We would open it up. Anybody know what I know about Mennonite magic? And we'd open that thing up. You do. You look like a Mennonite. And I got saved through the Mennonite church. And, you know, we open up them cans, man, and we mix them up with onions and different things. And nobody would know it came out of a can. So I always used to call it when they gave us blessings, you know, and everybody gave it the name, Mennonite magic, you know. And he gave it to us, and I remember those times. And I remember doing all the things that had to be done in ministry and the things that we do. We pray, we seek the Lord, we study the Word. We're always crying out that you want to be the one to bring and for God to use to do the kingdom. And you pour those years in there and you sow. And all of a sudden, you start reaping where you have not sown. And God begins to do what's called prosperity or success. And all of a sudden, man, things are not as hard as they used to be. There's money in the bank. There are buildings. Not one building, there are buildings. Staff grows. It's not one staff, 10 staff, 15 staff. Vehicles, not one, 10. You know, you go and you keep moving and it's stuff and it starts coming and it's moving. And after a while, all the things that you do that you knew drove you because all you wanted was him, all of a sudden you realize you were never prepared, listen to this, for success. It seems like is doing well when you're in need, when there's a need there, when there's something that's driving you, that kind of keeps you there. And then all of a sudden, success comes. And I identified that in my life as success breeded in me arrogance. And then all of a sudden, it was not something that happened one night. It was something that happened over a period of time. You see, because I was limping, but it wasn't evident on the outside. And that's the danger of a hidden limp. Because if you're limping, people tend to come to your aid because they see it. But a hidden limp is something that's not seen. And so sometimes it has to be taken to its fruition. And then it causes its devastation. And then when it happens, it affects not only your life because the sin that separates you from God, but it affects if you're married, it affects your wife, your children, the church, the ministry. And it's just like a ripple effect, man. You know, collateral damage. Don't think about that stuff, but it's something that happens that starts here and then it ends up here, and all of a sudden, man, it just seems like everything is lost. It just seems like God doesn't know you anymore, and it certainly comes to the place that you don't really know the Lord anymore. And it becomes that broken place, what I call fallen rock. Man, you were a rock, man, but you fell. And one of the things about fallen rock, and I've been to West Virginia because we help a recovery ministry. We're in McDowell County, and McDowell County is one of the biggest drug havens in America, and we minister there like 5 times a year. We take teams down there. We do street meetings and all kind of stuff and have a little recovery center there. And sometimes you go, and there might have been a rain, or there might be something in there, that boom, the road is blocked. And it's West Virginia. If y'all been to West Virginia, this, you can't get around a thing. You got to go back, you know, and find another road to get around because the rock is there. So the way I look at it is like fallen rock can cause devastation of proportions that we could never imagine. And one of the things that I learned in the process, the importance of the relationship of that young man, because that young man, it says that he was the favorite to win. I mean, he wasn't just a guy in the race. He was favored to win. Could you imagine his mind? His mind, he was looking at everybody else, and I don't know about how many of y'all ever play sports. I always play sports, and I'm on the court. I used to be a ball player, and I would look, and I said, man, we got this. Get him, check him. I got him, you know, and go win it with the idea I'm winning. And so I could imagine that he was knowing that he was going to win, and the last thing in his mind, he thought that halfway through this thing, he was going to be out. And I have seen in the ministry where things have taken people out. People that had great ministries, people that had great families, people that have done magnificent things for the Lord and very unique and very special, but they were taken out because they didn't have what this video shows us he had. You see, what he had was a father. He was in a race, and it was his to win. But his success got sidetracked, and it caused him to limp. And the limp could have taken him out, and it would have been justified. People could have just picked him up, take him out to the side. Nobody would have mentioned anything. But you know what? The limp wasn't going to take him out because he wasn't by himself. You see, that guy that ran across was his father. More than that, if it was not even his father, let's just say that it was his spiritual father.
Let's just say that it's not just his spiritual father, but let's just say that there's another group of men that can come along and all of a sudden grab him in that race and say, you don't got to do this thing alone. If you want to quit, it's that way. But if you want to run the race, it's that way. And since you can't run that way all by yourself, we're going to grab you up and we're going to make sure you get to the other side. You see, because when the church decides to be the church, when the church decides to be the church, we're not afraid of fallen rock. We welcome fallen rock. We welcome brokenness. Brokenness is not pretty. Brokenness is not something you should pray for unless you're ready. Maybe not. So I liken this to that young man running. And I liken him wanting to finish. And then something happening. And then somebody else came along. And even though he was limping. And did you see the limp? Did you see the limp? And even though he was holding, it was still hard, you know? And the father was just talking to him. Did you see all the time? And did you see how the father was hitting him in the chest? Yeah. Right? Touching, like encouraging him to move on. And here's the reason sometimes the limping don't come forward, because we're not sure that the church is going to act like the church. Sometimes we have witnessed where the church has not been the church, and it's not so good to come forward in a limping state, because you're not going to get what you need, and you've seen others do it and they didn't get what they need. So after a while you get trained. Oh, you go to church, but you don't do church. Well, maybe not us. And so therefore, when the Lord really wants to heal you, and you get all the wonderful words that we hear and the encouragement that we hear and all the things that you want to tell, you want to come, you want that altar call, you want that thing, but inside you're not sure that the church is the church. But I'm going to testify to this. AIM is what AIM says it is. And the men that have stood and stand and God has placed in this place do stand with you. Do help you. Do love you. I'm a product of that. I'm not saying it because I look at Terry and I go like, well, I hope Terry's going to be there for me. No, I'm saying it because Terry has been there for me. Nothing to soup up Terry, but the fact that you took a chance that the church would be the church, you find healing. And that's where boldness has to come in, because you can keep your limp. You can keep it. But one thing about a limp, sooner or later it comes out. It all comes out in the wash later on. And you can avoid damage by just looking at it and saying, you know what, man, I need to come forward. I need to come forward. I need to get this thing right, because, you know, it's okay. But here's the beauty of limping, because, you know, we look at the scriptures, and the thing that comes into my mind is Terry opened up with Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, and he said, well, I don't know if these guys are going to do it, but, you know, I'm going to use it. And it says there in that verse that when he came out of that experience, it says that he left with a limp.
It says that he left with a limp, and then the next verse says, and then the people never ate the shank, and you know, I don't know, this other stuff, and we don't know if that stood forever, and who cares about that. All we care about, it was this guy who was living this life that wasn't next to what God wanted him to live, but yet God used him anyway. And yet God wanted to elevate him and take him to another place because the destiny was greater than him. Listen to what I'm saying. The destiny was greater than him. And so because of that, God still allowed to give him this lesson. And then he comes out of there, man, with a limp. And then here's the thing. The thing about that, the way I see that, is he comes out of this limp. And then the very next thing is that in that limp, even though he didn't get a chance to understand about this new name, about this new anointing, about this new destiny, about this new place that he was going, God still set in motion something that was going to test if he really was at that place. Because all of a sudden, his brother that had been estranged from him, for in Genesis 33, it goes into that all of a sudden, he said he looked up and saw that Esau was coming with 400 men, and he'd been estranged from his brother, and he didn't want anything to do with him. But this wasn't old Jacob anymore. This was now Israel with a limp. Something had happened to him in a place of brokenness that allowed God to pour new oil in his life, and he was ready to tackle something that he could not look at for 20 years. Oh, hearing me? Really? Okay. No, that's true. Sometimes people preach, man, and you y'all with me? Yeah, nah, boom, boom, hallelujah, go home. But when you look at it, he was able now to see something that he had not seen before, and he was able to confront something that he didn't want to face anymore. You see, sometimes we don't want to face the things that the limp is blinding us from. And what the limp does, it blinds us that God indeed has a destiny for us. And even though we might have a fault or a failure or a sin, or there's just something else that's going on, whether it's anxiety, depression. I love speaking to some of the brothers here who tell me, man, I dealt with anxiety. Man, I dealt with depression. You know how freeing that is? Because there are some people in church who, God forbid, they don't want to say they've dealt with a little bit of anxiety, or they dealt with a little bit of depression. Like somehow they're no longer people of faith. Or when someone says, man, a little bit of fear. They get that other, man, but brother, blah, blah, and you get that other stuff. That's not the church. And because enough of that stuff has happened, the church is not allowed to be the church. But here he got his breakthrough. And all of a sudden, even though, and where's Jaime? This is what Jaime said, and this is where Jacob was. You said that in spite of your fear, you still got to push through. You still got to go through. And Jacob went through. But I want you to see when he saw his brother, he began to set his family in place. Handmaidens, you go first. I'm not going into the scriptures because if I tell you, all you guys have preached this 1,000 times, right? And so he went in Genesis 33, he kind of set it in order. You can begin to see his fear, his doubt, his planning, his scheming. You see what I mean? He was a new creature in Christ. You know, he got a new break. He got a limp, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And God was doing something different in spite of himself, but he was still trying to kind of work it out. But here's the good part. Even though he still had that going on, he was shooting forth to his destiny. But at least he was heading now in the right direction. Got to get that. At least he was heading in the right direction. And when he went, he saw, and then the handmaids, and then, of course, Leah, and then he puts Rachel in the back, you know, and he's kind of, she gets taken out, they get taken out. What I love is in the back. You see what I mean? Strategically, he's trying to work that thing out. You see, there was a little flesh in there.
Or was it a little wisdom? I don't know what it was. But at least the new man wasn't running anymore. He had a limp. And he understood that the limp was now a scar of love. It wasn't a limp to take him out. It was a limp to propel him to destiny. And so he moved, and all of a sudden he saw his brother. Now in his mind, right? In his mind, he had no idea the reaction that his brother was going to give him. Everybody say fear.
Fear.
That's real. And it flips this way. Fear to tell, and then fear when you do tell, now that it's out, what happens to my future? Because you know, in some things, you just don't go back. Y'all know what I'm saying? You just don't go back. Something has to change. And so here, all of a sudden, he had this thing. He was confronted with this thing. And then he goes forward. And then he goes, and in his mind, he's got fear. He got doubt. He's got his plan. Man, if this happens, I'm going to cut that way. These people could go here. My wife is back there. You know, blah, blah, blah. Here I go. I'm going. I'm coming up. And all of a sudden, man, his brother sees him. And the thing that he thought in his mind was the wildest thing he could ever thought. His limp took him to his destiny. Because his brother, then it says, kissed him. And it, all of a sudden it was like, man, who all them girls, man? Oh, that's your family. Man, who's that? That's your wife. Man, that's cool, man. Look at all them kids. And not going to imagine Jacob, like when he come at me a little bit. Stand up. You know, like he kissed him and everything. And then after, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then come at me a little bit. And he was like, whoa, what's up? You know what I'm talking about? He was in it, but he was also conscious. You see, because only because you get into the process of you getting healed, there's still the residue of the arrogance. There's still the residue of the action. There's still the thing. You're quite aware of it now, because before you didn't want to see it. Now it's in IMAX. I mean, y'all know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not there. Give it a little while. Stick with it a few years. Hopefully not. But all of a sudden now it was in IMAX. And he saw it, but something different was happening in him. You see what I mean? Because the limp wasn't to take him out. The limp was to clean him up. You see, the thing that we struggle with is not the thing that's designed by the enemy to take us out. It is to understand the healing that comes as a result when godly men get together and decide that the broken are worth chasing. That the limping are worth holding up. What I like about that, he intended in his mind to be in first place. In his mind, he intended to be number one. And at that point, the limp, he didn't even care about being number one. Because he loved the journey and the one who put him on the journey so much. It wasn't about being one. It's about finishing strong. Is about getting to the end. And at this point, he didn't care. And matter of fact, he was like, nah, nah. And we do that sometimes. We reject what we should embrace. We reject what we should embrace. But he didn't reject it. He at the beginning, nah, I'm going to do this by myself. And then all of a sudden, he realized, nah, okay. Okay, and then he's, could you imagine the conversation with his father? Come on, dad, let go. I got this. shut up, man.
And they probably had that little father-son. I got 10 kids. So I do have the right to talk about children. I got 7 daughters and 3 sons. And I got 15 grandchildren and 2 more on the way. Okay? So I got a little bit on kids. I understand. So that little conversation could have gone a lot of ways. And when he was trying to be his own man, doing he had to do this, he says, son, you've gone as far as you can go. You're going to need to lean on me. And you got to let me take you part of the way. And that's the beauty, and I'm going to liken it to this, of this place called AIM. It is not just a gathering. It is the church trying to meet the needs of the men of God who lead churches so that they can practice among each other in a micro setting all the things that a church should be so that we could be healed and get what we need so that we are thrust out to bring healing to the broken in our places where we minister, where we go, where we are. But man, if we can come here and still be broken and still have things and still afraid and not want to come to the altar and keep the little limp and leave the way you came, man, that's not, no. All this way for that. I did it. I know what I'm talking about. But man, when the opportunity came and the time came, all of a sudden I experienced what, listen, ready? I'm going to say this. I experienced, ready? In my arrogance, what I had given others and negated myself. You're not there. Hope you never get there. Maybe you don't know what I'm saying. Does anybody know what I'm saying? Maybe not. But all of a sudden, God gave the opportunity to repent, to lay that down. And in that brokenness, to open up and God to just begin to scrape the walls of past hurts and things that all of a sudden push you to that place where you knew all along you really loved the Lord. You were really sincere in wanting to serve him. A true humility rises up. God is just filling that new plate and starting to show you your new destiny. And all of a sudden, the very limp you didn't want to reveal, you begin to be thankful that the limp was revealed, because you start getting a real understanding of who Jesus is, who the church is, and the possibilities that await for you when you begin this new journey with a new breath inside you. I want to give you 3 things that I think are crucial to come out of that place. To come out of that place, there are 3 things that I think were just crucial. And the first one is perspective. Because you can continue looking at what happened, and you can continue looking and playing it over, the devastation, right? And a peripheral damage, the collateral damage, and you can continue in that for such a long time that it can almost take you out. Because that's all you can see. Why? Because you feel the pain of the limp and you see the reality of the devastation. Perspective is a big thing, because it is God who forgave you. It is God who sets you in order. It is God who fills you with His Spirit. It is God who created you. It is God who's healing you. It is God who's calling you. It is God who's restoring you. It is God blowing you into a new direction. It is God that's not letting you go. And you got to begin to look at Him and focus on Him, fixing my eyes on Him, knowing, man, I got to get through this, but I'm not going to get through this without having my head on right. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, man, and a sound mind.
sober mind. I can see clearly now. And all of a sudden, man, that perspective, you begin to see it just the way it ought to be. And even though he went through everything that he went through, his perspective was, God's doing a new thing in me. And even though I would never go near my brother, even though I'm going to do it. So through all the doubt, through all the stuff, he went and he got close to him. And all of a sudden, watch this, all the imaginations and all the vain imaginations and all the fear and all the depression and all the anxiety and all the doubt that you're now nobody and that you're thrown aside and God doesn't care about you anymore and you've lost it and there's no more anointing, there's no more calling, there's nothing, there's just devastation and that's all you see. But all of a sudden, man, he still pushed through that, and when he got there and he was brave enough by faith to get there, even though his feelings were strong, he got to the place where all of a sudden, instead of a punch and a stab and death, what he got was a kiss. Kiss me, Jesus. Huh? Kiss me, Jesus. But that's the beginning, perspective. The second thing that is of uttermost importance is his presence. You have to get to the place that you don't want anything else. You get to the place that you gotta, you know, like what they put on the horses? Yeah, man. It gets to the place that you gotta go back to that place. You can't see anything but him. There ain't time for too much of anything else. This is you and Jesus. Presence. Man, you rekindle that thing called intimacy. You begin to recognize that you weren't intimate at all. You know? And you begin to understand, man, you know what? I got to get my perspective right. I got to deal with that mind, will, and emotions. Got to get that right, man, but I got to be in his presence. I got to be in his presence. And it is in that place that he does the deeper work. It is in that place that he does the deeper work. You see, it begins with the limp. And then it begins with the help. And then it begins with that pushing through. And all of a sudden getting the kiss. And then it's pulling back away from that. And now getting into his presence and allow him to start building you back up. Listen, this thing about limping brothers, this is a real thing. This is a real thing. And sometimes as leaders and pastors, man, we just don't know if the church is going to be the church. We just don't know. And sometimes we don't want to take a chance. But man, we deny ourselves the healing. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how big it is. I'm not talking about a big thing. I'm talking about it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's being able to have that thing of accountability where you open up and you allow God in, but you allow other brothers in. You allow somebody else in. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing. Even when you limp, God can still use you. Because the limp is no longer a limp of shame. It becomes a scar of love. It becomes a testimony of healing. It becomes a testimony of restoration. It becomes the possibility to others that God indeed is in control and he loves us beyond our understanding. Fallen rock. Broken brothers. Lastly, is power. You can't do it on your own power. We know all the scriptures, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord, endued with power from on high. We can't do it on our own. It has to be with the power of God. the power of God working in my life. You know, the thing about spiritual victory, it's not a dot. You know, spiritual victory, dot. I wish it was, because then it'd be over. You know, the dot means the end of the sentence, right? Boop! Spiritual victory, done. Nah, it's at best a line. And it is a line that goes up and down, right? And if hopefully walked right, it starts an upward spiral. It starts an upward spiral. Because over time, there are things that happen in that relationship which has to do with those changes and those transitions. And it is in that time, because you said it, the attitudes must change. There are certain things you need to accept that you were not willing to accept. There are things you confront that you were not trying to see. You had to learn how to let go. Attitudes that began to define who we were. It would appear that we can maybe avoid discouragement and that we can avoid all these things, but it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. You're not going to go through it without discouragement. You're going to go through it with discouragement. Just like Jaime said, you got to face the fear and still go through. You got to face the discouragement and you still got to go through. And with the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and the presence of God and that right perspective and watch and the help of a father. Man, you can get to the other side. And what you thought you couldn't have, God blows you up and begin to recognize that the enemy, he really wanted to take you out. Not just sit you down, but he literally wanted to kill you, take you out. So these are some real serious issues. When he says here that I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live now by faith in the Son of God, becomes Christ's dwelling reality, because you get out of yourself and you begin to realize, man, Christ ready and Christ alone. You begin to understand that perspective is important and presence is so important. That place of humility and grace and mercy and love and acceptance, man. And here's the thing. Just like the marks of addiction doesn't determine your position. The scars you go through don't determine who you are in him. It had nothing to do with it. Blows my mind that the prodigal smelt like pig and got a robe. Let's just do it this way. How many of y'all want to rush, couldn't took a bath and put a clean shirt on? Okay, none of you. I have. You still stink. So I could imagine how he stunk. But he had a robe on. And he was given a ring. And he was given sandals. And he was given assurance. And this wasn't a father that walked to him. This was a father that what? Yeah. Ran to him. And that kiss that Esau gave to Jacob is that same picture image we get of the father running to the prodigal. It's the same thing. That image of the father loving us, taking us. God says to us this way, my presence fills your mind with light, peace, leaving no room for fear. This awareness lifts you above your circumstances, enabling you to see problems from his perspective. Live close to me. Together we can keep the wolves of worry, fear, anxiety, depression, loneliness, and such junk at bay. Because that's what his presence does for us. And the power of the risen Christ allows us to understand that it's not me that can do it, but it's Christ in me. Changes. not depending on my ability. Fallen rock. Fallen rock. Limping brothers. The limp is not your weakness, but his strength. God is urging us not to be trapped by events of the past. If you have done the work of repentance and accountability, focus on him and look ahead. The Lord's forgiveness transforms, listen, the memory of our sorrow into confidence of his love. That scarring. Who spoke about the scars? Man, you know, he removes that stuff. He takes it out. Allows you to know. Here's the exhortation to the church, because it goes twofold. And we find this in the scripture where he says to us this: you who are spiritual. I like that. You know, be careful there. You who are spiritual. I'll read it because I'm closing. But my hope is that we don't let the message pass us by. That we don't, we said walking with a limp is not a negative. Walking with a limp is a positive, because you have gone through the valley of brokenness and you have come to a place of fresh oil, a clear-headed eyes, man, of destiny. And unfortunately, we know that there have been many brothers who don't get that opportunity. How many of you know Fallen Rock? Fallen Rock that were full of potential but didn't take a shot at the church. They didn't take a shot at the church. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He deceives himself. Isn't it great when the church can be the church? Isn't it great when you can come and in your mind you're thinking you're getting the bat and what you get is the kiss of Jesus? Man, that's what awaits. But it takes courage. It takes courage. Even if it's not an evident limp, it can be a limp that's hiding, can be in the heart, could be in our minds, could be whatever. But we have to give time. We got to trust. And we got to trust, listen, we got to trust the brother. We got to trust the father. And lastly, the crowd. There was a crowd. You know, it says how many were there that day? 65,000 people were there, right? And I think of the crowd. And what the crowd did, it says that it gave him a standing ovation. Something he might have not even gotten if he would have won. He would have got applause. He maybe would have got a medal. But in his mind and in his heart, he will never forget the thunder of 65,000 people that applauded his limp. Rejoicing in heaven when restoration takes place. Rejoicing in heaven when reconciliation becomes possible. Watch this. Rejoicing in heaven when the church of Jesus is the church of Jesus. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I can only give you me. And
the exhortation that it's better sooner than later that you take full opportunity, that here is not just a gathering, but it's a place of healing. It's a place of restoration. It's a place where there are fathers. And it's a place where we can practice the church being the church. Amen? You want to come? Take it? Want me to close it? Okay. I want to encourage you with this, that if you need prayer tonight, and in anything that it's been said, not that I said anything, but that in all the things that we have heard so far, and we're talking about this place of brokenness, you know, I always say there's a beginning to everything. Everything has a beginning. Nothing can start unless it has a beginning. And so I'm just going to say that if you need prayer tonight, and with anything that's been said, it's okay to limp. It's okay to have something in there. It doesn't have to be revealed. It just has to know that let the church tonight be the church and allow God to bring healing, restoration, and fellowship into your heart. So before we're ready to be dismissed, I'm going to say, if you want to come forward so that we can pray for you, no matter what it is, no matter what's going on, we'd love to do that. There are those here who want to pray with you, want to love on you. And if you're here tonight and you need that kind of ministry, we want to minister to you. So we're going to ask that you would come so that we can minister to you. The other is the encouragement. And the encouragement is this: you who are spiritual, what fallen brother do you know? What limping brother do you know needs that kind of an encouragement, that needs you to come along, that needs you to stand with him and take him the last mile of the way? Because it's in the heart of every man to finish strong. You guys got somebody like that in mind? Then I want you to think of these men. Hallelujah. I want you to think of these men, and I want you to think about what God wants to do in their heart and how God wants to use you. And I want you just to, right now, as I stay here and minister to our brother, that I want you to think of the person that you need to stand with. So that God can do a work in their life through you.